CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, hell yeah. I'm on TV. What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I'm pretty excited about that, but nobody's more excited about that than the old man in the back row, Ritt. Ritt is so fired up.
Finally.
Ritt's like, how come I haven't won my award? What's the award for daytime television? How come I don't have one of those things? I'm on TV every single day. Welcome to the program. The reason I'm making note of that is the fact we were not on for the first 2 hours. But we are now, hour number three. So if you're wondering, and a few of you have, hit me up on Twitter. Like, what's up, Rome? Did you get canceled? No. I'm here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, we start hour number three. In case you are just finding us on TV and you missed the first 2 hours, we had Ross Tucker on in hour number one. We had John Rothstein on in hour number two. We talked about the NFL weekend. I talked about the best game of the year so far in the NFL, the Bills and the Cardinals. An amazing game, an amazing end to that game. We talked at length about the Masters. I'm going to talk even more about the Masters. We talked about what happened to DJ and Dustin Johnson, I thought was amazing. You know, let's talk about how dumb this guy is. We should all be that dumb. This world would be so much better if we were all that dumb. Every athlete playing on the biggest stage should be that dumb and clutch up the way that guy did. I thought he was amazing, especially when he got into trouble early on with a couple of bogeys. Reset himself. In fact, he's probably so dumb, he didn't even need to reset himself. He probably didn't even know that he bogeyed those two holes. That being that he's so dumb and all. He probably didn't even know he was at the Masters if he's that dumb. How about we give this guy some credit? He was absolutely amazing. DeChambeau, on the other hand, came in with all the hype, mostly because of everything he said about himself, and then did not back it up. And I'm not even here to say that he shouldn't be saying those things. I love the guy, and I love that he does say those things. And I can even live with him saying those things and not backing it up. But if you're going to say those things, you sure as hell better back it up. Things like, this may be a par 72 for everybody else, but it's a par 67 for me. It's an amazing statement to make about the Masters. So if you're going to say something like that, you better at least par the course, which he didn't do. But even then, even if you're not going to back it up, you better own it. And that's not what he did. He had a lot of excuses after it was done, and we talked about that. In addition to that, some of the reaction. D-Rod in the 925 tweets, Bryson sounds like Silk after he got crushed in the election. All excuses.
My brain just gets all disoriented, so.
It doesn't sound like Silk. That sounds like the would-be physicist himself. So, Alvin, give me the long-form version. Bryson, in case you missed it, in case you just picked us up on CBS Sports Network, Bryson said a lot of things went wrong, but mostly he was just dizzy, really dizzy.
I got to fix my whatever's going on up here. I have no idea. It's just dizziness, and you know, it's only when I go from up or from down to up. See, I can't even like think and talk right now. But that's just what happens. I go down and up, and my brain just gets all disoriented, so. You know, I got to fix that, and once I fix it, I'll be even better than now, you know. And when something arises in the future, I'll just keep trying to fix it. It's better than where it was on Friday and Saturday, a little Saturday, but still, it's tough. I mean, I'm hydrated. Everything's fine. It's just about orientation. There's numerous times where I was over it, and I just felt super uncomfortable. I just couldn't see anything. I couldn't see the line. It was really weird, really weird. I missed a lot of putts because of it today.
Yeah, that does sound a little weird. Not as weird as you saying it, though, actually saying it. I know you were hydrated. You had like 15 protein shakes. So hydration couldn't have been the key or the issue. Again, I'm not saying that he wasn't dizzy. I'm not saying that he wasn't disoriented. I'm saying the guy's a bleeping rhinoceros. So why did it have that kind of impact? And even then, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Not that DJ ever says anything about anything anyway, but he actually did test positive for COVID. He actually did go into self-quarantine for 11 days in a hotel room. He actually didn't pick up a club or do anything at all. He actually did not play that much at all coming in. Didn't seem to impact him. So again, I'm still here for the Bryson show. I like the guy, but I don't like that act. I mean, nobody cares. Own it. You didn't play well at all. Dear Jim, Bryson DeChambeau needs to own it. He talked a lot going into that event, signed to California Chrome's previous owner after they lost in the Belmont. You remember that? They won the first two legs, and then they went to the Belmont, and it didn't go well. And my man, the Cowboy, they got a mic and a camera right in his face because he loved both those things, and he let it rip. I got a kick out of the Cowboy. If you know horse racing, you might recall California Chrome and the horse that we owned, Shared Belief, were fierce rivals, Cali rivals. So it was natural to think that the ownership groups did not like each other. But that's not the case. We actually did all right. The only issue I had with them was one night when Shared Belief, I mean, it's so evolved. It's so involved. But the really short version is these two horses were the same age, both in Southern California, and both had designs on the Kentucky Derby. Shared Belief got hurt. California Chrome went on, won the Derby. We sat off on the side. California Chrome became very famous and very rich and got all the hype. Everybody forgot about our horse. Our horse quietly made a comeback at Golden Gate, which was in Northern California, kind of like it's a much smaller venue. So I ran into the trainer and some of the group for California Chrome one night. And I brought Logan, who was a little kid over at that time, to that dinner table to meet that group. Because Logan was a big Shared Belief fan, but he liked California Chrome. And I went over there, and one of the guys in that group said, "Yeah, we saw your race. We saw your comeback race." I'm like, "Yeah?" He said, "Yeah, we thought that was a setup. Like, we somehow set that thing up for the easy win." I'm like, "A setup? But what could I say? You know, they were ripping off the Kentucky Derby." So we filed that away. That was the only issue I ever had with them. We filed that away, and then we ran against them in the San Antonio, and we kicked their ass, and it felt awesome. Ran them right into the ground. Geared down, yo. Geared down, yo. That said, I got a kick out of the Cowboy. I like the Cowboy. I never had an issue with him. I thought he was good for the sport. I saw him, the Cowboy, at the track one day. I can't remember what race it is. The Cowboy came over and gave me a big old bear hug. He's like, "Jimmy, my man." So he was good for the sport, and I got a kick out of him. Let's see. TJ Steeler tweets, "Jim, Tiger has always had commitment issues. Signed, Elon."
That's between Elon and myself.
All right, so back to Tiger. I had this at the end of hour number two. And again, if you weren't watching on the TV simulcast, you may have missed it. So Tiger has that 10. Tiger had a 10 on number 12. And the only thing crazier than him actually carding a 10 was him trying to explain what happened afterwards.
"Well, I committed to the wrong wind. You know, the wind was off the right for the first two guys. And then when I stepped up there, it switched to howling off the left, which in the flag on 11 was howling off the left. And I didn't commit to the wind. And I also got ahead of it and pushed it too, because I thought the wind was coming off the right and it was off the left."
Wait, what? You carded a 10 because you, quote, "didn't commit to the wind." Again, "my glutes didn't activate. Can't believe the I didn't commit to the right wind excuse."
"Well, I committed to the wrong wind."
You committed to the wrong wind.
"Well, I committed to the wrong wind."
All right. Fair enough. You committed to the wrong wind. That would explain the tee shot. What about the other 9, Cat? I'm pretty sure the wind isn't knocking down that chunky drop from 20 yards. I'm pretty sure the wind had nothing to do with the bladed bunker shot that got 6 inches off the ground. All right, you committed to the wrong wind. What about the other 9 shots? Anyway, nice 10. No one expected you to make history in back-to-back years other than Adam Hawk and Chael Jr. and several million other honks. But you are the Cat, and defying expectations is pretty much what you do. Ricky Sheldon tweets, "Hey, Rome, can you make sure that Chrysan DeVertigo stays safe around trains? Backpedaling makes you dizzy."
dizziness.
SA Sports Honk with the very predictable, "Hey, Rome, I committed to the wrong wind too," signed Ian Poulter.
Committed to the wrong wind.
Alvin DeLauro, if you need Alvin DeLauro. All right, so continuing with the Masters. Got a lot of thoughts on it, don't I? When have you ever seen a Masters in November? As I mentioned at the very top of the program, you may have missed it. It doesn't matter when the Masters is. There will always be moments. Lots of moments. Like every year since 2015, one of the prevailing storylines coming in is, will Rory McIlroy exercise those demons once and for all, get that green jacket, and finish off the career slam? And for 6 years running, the answer had been no. But at least Rory wasted no time getting us there this week, because my man was DOA with an opening round 75. Thanks for coming. See you next year. Roars. Or so we thought. Check this dude. There's Rory with an extremely respectable T5 finish. If you didn't know any better, you'd think this guy had been in contention or something. But of course he wasn't. It's just that when the pressure was off of him, 18 holes into a 72-hole tournament, my man actually started to play like the four-time major winner that he is, like the fourth best stick in the world that he is. Hard to believe considering what Dustin Johnson just did, but consider this. Rory actually played the final 54 holes of the Masters better than DJ. So the next time you hear somebody say that you cannot lose a golf tournament on the first day, point them at Rory. He actually did lose the golf tournament on the first day. Now that the calendar year will be closed with no more majors, Rory's drought is about to hit 7 years, which for a player of his caliber is pretty insane. I mean, I'm not saying it's easy to win a major, but in that same period of time, Brooks has won four of them. Jordan Spieth has won three, and he's got no idea where the hell he is and hasn't had any idea for a long time now. DJ just got his second. Even the cat at age 42 got one. Rory's had six chances to join Jack, Tig, Hogan, Gary Player, Gene Sarazen as the only golfers ever to complete the career slam. And he'll get a seventh opportunity in April when they run the Masters back again. But at this point, I'll tell you what. I'm going to take DJ and Brooks to get the slam before Rory. And they're each only halfway there. But I'd still bet on both of them. Not one of them, both of them. And before we put a bow on the Masters completely, let me tip my hat and give a phony smile and a big thumbs up to the great Phil Mickelson. Let's go back to last month, where the 50-year-old rolled out to his second senior PGA Tour event, and then he rolled up the field for his second senior PGA Tour win. Here's what he had to say about that afterwards, and I quote, "It's fun for me to come out here and play well, and this is a good start for me as I try to build a little momentum heading into Augusta next month," end quote. You know, that quote sounds almost exactly like what he said after he won the first old fat guys event. Because he said that it would help him in his preparation for the U.S. Open at Wingfoot. Now, if shooting 13 over par and missing the cut is helping him prepare, then yes, that helped him get ready for the Open. A lot. So let's see if anything else changed prior to Augusta. Let's see. Let's see if beating up on a bunch of senior citizens actually does help him in the majors. Didn't work out for the U.S. Open, but maybe the Masters would be different. Let's take a look. Nope. Phil Mickelson tied for 55th, four spots above DFL, and making history by matching his worst ever 18-hole score at the Masters with a third round 79. And this is what I called out back in August when Thefty first said that he was using the Champions Tour to prep for majors. I called BS right then, and I was right. In fact, I was right both times. Look, I'm not going to sit here and laugh in the guy's face, but that doesn't mean that Elk won't. Elk already did. Back on last week's pod, when I asked Steve Elkington if there's any possibility that you can get Major ready out on the senior circuit.
There's not a chance, mate. He's out there just smashing it out on the Champions Tour. He's playing against guys like Doug Barron. Bernard Langer, who's an animal, he's 60-something years old. Come on, give me a break. Pat Perez saved me last week. He's like, Jesus Christ, he said, I can't get enough of Phil. This is better than the Kardashians, this guy coming back telling me he's getting ready for the Masters by playing, you know, on the Champions Tour.
That is an amazing cut. Like to fully appreciate that cut, you have to hear that back. There's Elk, Alvin, with a JC blast. He can barely even articulate the thought without cracking up. And he said that Pat Perez thinks it's hilarious and that it's even better than the Kardashians.
There's not a chance, mate. He's out there just smashing it out on the Champions Tour. He's playing against guys like Doug Barron. Bernard Langer, who's an animal, he's 60-something years old. Come on, give me a break. Pat Perez saved me last week. He's like, Jesus Christ. He said, I can't get enough of Phil. This is better than the Kardashians, this guy coming back telling me he's getting ready for the Masters by playing, you know, on the Champions Tour.
So, like, all you apologists and all of you who are part of the Hefty Nation, they're eating out of the palm of his hand. You can just hear what Elk said. Like, his peers, Pat Perez, like, thinks it's the funniest thing ever. Like, I can't get enough of Hefty telling people I'm getting ready for majors by playing on the Champions Tour. Like, the guys who actually do it, the guys who are actually in it, think it's the funniest thing ever. Like, it's such a joke. Hefty, I know this is impossible for you, but just once, man, just be real for once. Just shoot it straight for once and just say it. No, these old man events on these shorter, easier tracks are not getting you ready for anything that matters. Just say it. It's easy. It's easy, easy money. Anyone who says they can't, I mean, this is what he should say. Here's why I'm out here. Because it's easy. It's easy money. And anybody who says that they can't wait to get to 50 to start mugging a bunch of old dudes and ripping their wallets are lying out their ass. That's why I'm out there. Easy bleeping money. If you were to say that, I cannot tell you how much I would respect it. If you would just say it. But I know you never will. Even if you know it's true, and that is the reason you're out there. Because it's helping me get ready for the U.S. Open. Because it's helping me get ready for the Masters. Come on, man. Just say it. Just say it. Easy bleeping money. I couldn't wait for my 50th birthday. Lost 50 pounds, turned 50, started cashing giant bleeping checks. Man, I would respect that so much. Why do you think I'm out here, man? Because I'm going up against 65-year-olds. Easy bleeping money. Still to come on Yeka Okongwu, NBA draft prospect. That's coming up at 11:40 my time, 2:40 Eastern time, which means one more open segment. Use it. I'm going to try and get to Jimmy Butler. Got an update on Jay Buckets. You know, there is no better place to get in on all the football action then with DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every pass, every catch means more with DraftKings. It's simple. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the excitement of watching the game quite like having a shot at millions of bucks in prizes. If you have not signed up yet, what are you waiting for? Get in the game right from your couch. Download the DraftKings Daily Fantasy app right now. Use the code ROME. And for a limited time, new users can get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes. Do not miss out on all of this week's action. Enter code ROME. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your very first deposit. Codename ROME, R-O-M-E. Only at DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got a special announcement from Dell Technologies. Black Friday is officially here. You can save up to 50% on powerful computers with Intel Core processors. It will take your small business to the next level. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/SB. Black Friday. All right, so coming up next segment, a conversation with an NBA draft prospect. Onyeka Okongwu will be joining us. That's coming up in 15 minutes. All right, so it's a loaded Monday. We're coming off the NFL Sunday. We're coming off the Masters. So I don't really have time for a proper edition of Guess That Sound, which is one of my favorite games. But if I did, I would put this piece of audio in front of all of you and let you take a few stabs at guessing this sound. So what do you make of that? If you had to guess that sound, what would you guess? One more time, Alvy. If you guessed that was the sound belonging to one James Buckets, a.k.a. Jimmy Butler, a.k.a. Jimmy Barista, enjoying one of life's little luxuries, the luxury of looking at yourself in the mirror after going 9 months without a haircut. If you guessed that, you would be correct. That is the sound of Jimmy Butler looking himself in the mirror after going 9 months without a cut. Over the weekend, he posted a video to Instagram where he hit the barbershop. In the video, he tells his chop artist that it had been since the All-Star break in February since he last got a cut.
You know, the last time I got a haircut is when you cut my hair for All-Star weekend.
Are you serious?
I swear.
Look at my head. No, I mean, I figured, quarantine was very soon after that.
Yeah. Well, that's why my mustache looked the way I look.
I'm not sure what's better. Jimmy's barber being shocked that Jimmy had not had a cut since February, or Jimmy responding incredulously with, quote, look at my effing head.
Are you serious?
I swear.
Look at my head.
But then all of that is a distant second to Jay Buckets looking himself in the mirror afterwards.
This is incredible. I'm in my bag. Woo. Yeah, buddy. Hems was always underneath there, amen.
Oh, man, that's an amazing reaction. That truly is an amazing reaction. Quote, this is incredible. I'm in my bag. Woo, yeah, buddy. Hems was always underneath, amen.
This is incredible. I'm in my bag. Woo. Yeah, buddy. Hems was always underneath there, amen.
Yeah, buddy. Hems was always underneath. Man, this dude is so funny. And it's effortless. He makes haircuts and coffee entertaining. This was the guy that nobody could get along with. This was the guy that could never stick on anybody's team. This guy's so funny. Like that time a few weeks back when he schooled up some kid on how to pull him an espresso shot.
Over here at Big Face, we teach him young. Ain't that right, Dom?
Yep.
Tell him how much you getting paid for making this coffee this morning.
$5.
No, you're not getting paid a damn thing. So over at Big Face Coffee, you bake the coffee for free if it's for me. Amen.
That video is priceless, literally, because as you heard, Jimmy drinks for free. If you're making the coffee for me, you're making the coffee for free. Amen.
Bake the coffee for free if it's for me. Amen.
I mean, you guys see the video. The kid can barely see over the counter. He's working on a top-of-the-line espresso machine, pulling shots. He's thinking, yeah, I'm going to get paid. I'm going to work. I'm going to make some money. And again, top-of-the-line stuff. This is not some Keurig or a pot of Folgers. It's a legit rig that you see at a coffee shop. Super technical. And this kid's like, good. This is like my high-end lemonade stand. I'm getting paid. But Jimmy is there to remind him, make the coffee for free. It's for me. Amen.
Make the coffee for free if it's for me. Amen.
Like, there's the Lord's Prayer. And then there's the Big Face coffee prayer. But back to the haircut. Man, Jimmy Butler is a millionaire. A grip of times over. He's been out of the bubble for a month. He's only now getting around to getting to the chop shop. What took so long, my man? Apparently, he is so loyal to a certain Edward Scissorhands because he wanted to go back to the same guy who cleaned him up back in February. And not only that, he turned down barber services in Orlando, where Rajon Rondo's brother had been commissioned to hire six barbers who were drafted by certain NBA players to run the shop at Disney World. Jimmy was not having that. In other words, Jimmy knows what Jimmy likes when it comes to coffee and when it comes to his lettuce. He ran a business out of his hotel room while simultaneously running his team to the finals, and he's so particular about his coffee and his hair that he brewed his own Joe while waiting out his own stylist. Good things come to those who wait, and Jimmy's got that good chop and that good cup of Joe because he waits. He waits for what he wanted. Instant gratification be damned. Jimmy is in his own bag, and he's got all sorts of tricks. Like I said, I've never, ever been more fascinated by Jimmy Butler. I'm fascinated by all things Jimmy Butler. Imagine looking at yourself in the mirror and liking what you see that much.
Yeah, buddy.
Most of us look in the mirror and we're like, damn. Not looking too good. Looking kind of fat. Skin's not looking so good. Hair's not looking so good. Bags under the eyes not looking so good. Yeah, man, I don't like what I see. I got to change that. Not Jay Butler, man. My man loved what he saw.
Hems was always underneath there, amen.
At Yellow Weasel tweets, that sounds like Hawk screening calls when someone like Kenny in Albany promises that he's going to get racked. Wells in the 720, 9 months without a haircut. That's cute. I've got 9 decades without one. Signed Rit.
Bring it on.
Finally, a tweet about me.
Finally.
Hey, Rome, I'm in my bag. Regards, stay-at-home dads during potato sack races. Mike in Buffalo, hurting him. I think that would be a pretty good time for a break. Anytime I see anything from Mike in Buffalo, it's a good time for a break. Natural break. When we return, Onyeka Okongwu will be joining us. One last segment. You know, I may have time on the back end of that interview for a phone call or an email or a tweet or an ATP. All of that coming up. Or not an ATP, actually. Or maybe. All right, so really quickly, one last segment. I've got an interview planned, which I'm efforting. And a reminder, we've got the ATP because it's Monday. The Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. The queen of the ATP is in yet again, Bella B. Hi, Jim. Do you ever see other famous peeps on the Peloton leaderboard? Thanks, Bella B in Calgary. They're there, Bella, but I generally do not because I do a very specific ride. I did a 45-minute ride for like 3 years, and then one day I thought that I would bump up to 60 to give it a shot, and then I wanted to try it a second time, and then that's what I do now, and I generally do the ones that are taped. I do the ones that are in the library, so there aren't as many people that are on those rides because they're taped. It's hard to find that ride, and it's hard to find that ride live, so the answer is generally no, I don't. Although there are lots and lots of famous people who are on Peloton, especially during the pandemic. So to answer your question, no. Generally, I do not see famous people on rides, but that doesn't mean that there are not famous people on rides. I know there are, for a fact, because I see them tweet and I see them on social. All right, so Bella B. Bella B probably has won the ATP more than I have Peloton rides, and I have several hundred banked. And I bet she's banked more than several hundred ATPs. And what do you have to show for that, Bella? Nothing. except that you are better than everybody else. You do have that. And I see a couple of other stupid attempts at humor from stupid people talking about Dustin Johnson's win that aren't going to see the light of day on the program. Give the guy some bleeping credit, for real. Everybody's had a whole lot of expense at this guy, or fun at this guy's expense, you myself included, not to the extent that you have. I mean, you got to admit, this guy's had some pretty amazing meltdowns.
Credit.
Leading five times after 54 holes in a major, but finishing like a boss yesterday. Give the guy some credit. In the meantime, I'm efforting an NBA draft prospect on Yeka Okongwu. As I continue to effort him, I will open up the telephone lines. 1-800-636-8686. You can call now. Twitter never closes. Twitter's like 7-Eleven. It's 24-7. It's always available. It's always up. Hit me at Jim Rome. And you can still email the program too at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. In case you missed the first couple of hours, which is possible, we were not on CBS Sports Network. Wild, wild weekend in the NFL. Game of the year was the Bills and the Cards. Bills Mafia. I'm not even going to shout out to you, Bills Mafia, because when things were going well and I called out to you, you were nowhere to be found. I know you sure as hell are going to be nowhere to be found now. You thought you were 8-2. You thought it was all good. You were thinking about playoff seedings. Then the Cards go down the field late with very little time on the clock, and they rip your heart right out of your chest. That'll happen, especially when Kyler Murray has the football in his hands. It's never over until the clock hits zero with this guy. This is why I've been going on and on all year long about how he is the most electric player in the game. Didn't say the best quarterback in the game, but said that he's the most electric player in the game. Hopkins catch. DeAndre Hopkins made one of the greatest catches I have ever seen, but he doesn't get that opportunity unless you have a quarterback who pulls it out of his backside the way Kyler Murray did.
Murray back to throw, flushed out, rolling left in trouble, slips a tackle, got to launch it. He does. Left side, into the end zone, jump ball, and it is. Is it caught? Is it caught? Oh, my goodness, it's caught. DeAndre Hopkins caught it. He caught it for a touchdown with 1 second left. I can't believe it. You've got to be joking me. Hopkins reaches up with three defenders around him and pulls it in, and the Cardinals lead it 32-30 with a second left.
You can't cover Nuke. You're not going to be able to cover him. Throw the ball up.
See, that's the thing. They did cover him. He was actually extremely well covered by three guys, two of them Pro Bowlers. And the point that we made earlier, the best thing about that play, one of the best things about that play, that wasn't your typical Hail Mary where it gets batted around and then some receiver's lying on his back and he gets the carom. I mean, my man went up there against three other grown-ass men and came down with the ball. DeAndre Hopkins afterwards just said, it was just a better play made by I.
It was just a better catch by I.
It was a better catch by I. All right, as promised, we have a few moments right now with a former USC forward. 16 points, 9 rebounds last season at USC. A two-time Mr. Basketball in California. Fifth time in history that somebody has won that award back-to-back. Three division won state titles in four seasons at Chino Hills High School. The 2020 NBA draft is coming up on Wednesday. He appears courtesy of Mountain Dew and the virtual green carpet. Onyeka Okongwu is my guest. Onyeka, nice to have you on the show. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Jim. How you doing, man?
Good, dude. Good. Good to talk to you. So we're about 48 hours away from the draft starting on Wednesday. You've been working for this moment your entire life. What kind of emotions are you feeling right now? Are you excited, nervous, or maybe something else?
Man, I'm over thrilled with all types of emotions, man. It's been a long journey, man, long process, man. I'm excited for it to finally, come true.
You know, from talking to draft prospects in the past, they've always talked about how unusual the draft evaluation process is. But this year, obviously, it's even more bizarre because you have COVID, you've got the protocol. What has the process been like for you to get ready for the NBA and the draft? How did you approach that?
Well, my college season ended in, like, March. So, you know, from, like, March up until now, I've been working out. It's been a long off season. Now I've been really, you know, getting better at my game. You know, it's really, you know, improving. But I've been talking to teams, and that's about it. You know, teams just get to know me as a person. You know, they go on an advanced scout, and they get to see, like, my synergy, how I play on the court. Like, that's about it. You know, it's very weird. You know, and I couldn't really do any workouts this year.
All right, so you're your own guy, you're your own player, but when you look at the league right now, is there anybody who's got a game that's closest to yours? Is there anybody in particular that you model yourself after?
You know, Bam Adebayo from the Miami Heat is someone I can definitely model my game after. You know, Bam's so versatile offensively and defensively. You know, me and him are both great defenders. You know, we're able to switch to pick and roll and be rim protectors. You know, I'm just trying to get the playmaking Bam has, the handle Bam has, and be able to get comfortable with it, which I have been. I've been working on it a lot, and I feel like my shot's more as far along than his shot is. So, you know, it's all about development in the process. No, that's what it's all about.
You know, Onyeka, it's interesting to mention the defense because your coach, Andy Enfield, talks about how your defensive abilities are so unique and the fact that you can defend multiple positions and you can do it in different coverages. A lot of guys are not interested in that at all, but watching you, you seem to love it. How would you describe your approach when it comes to defense and your mindset defensively?
Man, defense is all about effort. I'll never forget the day my coach in junior high told me, you could always have a bad day on offense, but you can never have a bad day on defense. And when he told me that, it always stuck with me the rest of my life. And it's just like, defense is all about my mindset. And I have natural awareness, instincts on defensive end. So, you know, that's all it is. And I'm very prideful, too. I take a lot of pride in defense, so that's why I'm so successful on that end.
You know what I love? One of my favorite things about your story is that growing up, the story goes, tennis was more of your sport, but then you started to play for the Rancho Cucamonga Bulls. I was a high school tennis player in the 818, so I love that you played tennis. What did you like about tennis? How did you get into it, and what did you like about that sport?
No, it's like my parents used to always watch the U.S. Open, Australia Open on TV. And I'll just, like, be waiting to watch TV, and they just be watching it all day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to watch tennis too. And honestly, I thought I didn't like it. I just played tennis a little bit. But obviously, you know, basketball.
Older brother Namdi was a really good basketball player who passed away after suffering a brain injury while skateboarding. I wanted to reference him and mention him. What was he like as a person, and what kind of an impact did he have on you?
Man, nah, he was a great person, a great guy. Everyone loved him. He was friends with everybody. So when he passed away, you know, it hurt everyone. The community, SoCal, you know, the basketball world. So he was just a great guy to be around. And I just wanted to, like, keep his memory alive. Now I'm just walking by to see, you know, people know I was 21 for him. Just, you know, now dude, just somebody that he's always looking over me, always feels good around me. Let's be 21.
I think that's great. I know that's why you wear his number. I know you wear a rubber bracelet on your wrist to honor him as well and honor that legacy, which is super. I know your mother's been an amazing influence on you too. And that you're working with Mountain Dew and the virtual green carpet. So take a moment, lay that out for us. What's involved with that?
No, the Mountain Dew is having me on the green carpet. I'm happy for it. I'm happy to show off my suit on the green carpet. It's going to be virtual, but I'm still happy that I'm able to show off my suit. And, you know, Mountain Dew is all about celebrating hoops and the culture and everything about it off the court. You know, so I'm happy to, you know, be showing off my style and outfit for the virtual green carpet.
Did you have any idea what it's going to feel like when you hear your name called on Wednesday night? And you get to find out where you're going to live and work and play in the NBA.
Ooh, man, it's going to be a crazy moment for me. I'm probably going to be a loss of words. Might be a little emotional. You know, it's just something that doesn't even feel real yet. That I'm supposed to get drafted. less than 48 hours. So, I mean, it's just a dream come true. Now I'm just blessed to be in this position. I just continue to pray to God so, you know, keep blessing me and keep me on the right track.
Yeah, and one last thought. I mentioned to you that I grew up in the 818, so I'm a California native and proud of it. I love the fact that you're a two-time Mr. Basketball in California. There are some amazing names on that list. I know you're looking ahead, but what does that represent to you, being a two-time Mr. Basketball winner in California?
You know what? Honestly, man, accolades don't mean anything to me. I just play to win. No, I did what it took to win. I had great teammates at the Hills both my junior and senior year. They had a lot of confidence in me, which is, it's just all on them because they had a lot of confidence in me to do what I did. So, I mean, accolades are cool, but I'm just happy that I won 3 state championships even more.
I can respect that, too. 3 Division I state titles in 4 seasons at Chino Hills High School. The draft is coming up Wednesday night. That's 8 p.m. Eastern. He appeared courtesy of Mountain Dew and the virtual green carpet. And that's how you close the program on Onyeka Okongwu. Onyeka, listen, good week. Good luck midweek, I should say. And I know we'll do it again once you get to the association and you get settled.
Gotcha, man. Thank you so much for having me.
Good to have you. Take care. Have a great day. Good luck midweek. And there is your Monday edition of The Jungle. Got a lot done today. And we will get a lot done tomorrow. For all the ones who get it done, there is Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry to help keep your facilities safe and your people even safer. Call, click, Grainger.com/safety. Or just stop on by. He's got tremendous talent, great energy, extremely active, great high school teams. I mean, that is one to watch. Onyeka Okongwu, definitely one to watch. My thanks to him. My thanks to John Rothstein. My thanks to Ross Tucker. My thanks to the XR4TI crew. And I will see you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for listening. Have a great day. We're out.